Hi, this is Skip Mancini. It's summer on the high plains and the temperature's rising above the horizon. It's a good time to get in the shade and listen to Growing on the High Plains. A recent trip to the Red Hills country southwest of Medicine Lodge, Kansas, opened my eyes to both the beauty of the pristine prairie pastures and the encroaching disaster that may befall them if care is not taken to manage a good tree gone bad. My Nature Conservancy guide repeatedly pointed out the vast numbers of eastern red cedars that are literally taking over the grazing lands, gypsum deposits, and red earth canyons that make this part of a state generally known for its flatland wheat fields so special. For centuries, the red cedar has served the High Plains well, all the way from Texas to the Canadian border. It protected the pioneers from wind and weather, provided shelter for farmsteads and highways, as well as livestock and wildlife, and became a source for fence posts and even Christmas trees on these treeless high plains. When the buffalo roamed, natural wildfires kept the prairie grasses healthy and tree and shrub growth in check. But today, unmanaged or mismanaged rangeland has created pastures of plenty. Plenty of red cedars that are taking over the grasslands and turning them into dense cedar forests where even deer and other wildlife cannot live. Without the clearing effect of wildfires or controlled burning, cattle forage is greatly reduced. Other reductions are seen in the number of grassland birds and wildlife, wildflowers, and even the water from our natural aquifers and precious rainfall. A study from Oklahoma State University has found that a single red cedar will absorb 30 gallons of water per day. Consequently, 1 acre of the trees will absorb 55,000 gallons of water per year. Efforts to control the march of the red cedars include development of a red cedar industry with low-interest loans and favorable laws. During my visit to the Red Hills, I saw one successful business venture in action. Large areas of the prairie were being relieved of excess cedars in a process that began with cutting the trees, then allowing them to dry where they lay for a year, then hauling the trees to a grinding area where they were reduced to cedar chips. Trucks were loaded, and then the chips were transported to Walmart or other local garden centers. There they are sold as cedar mulch to gardeners and landscapers, and what was once a problem on the prairie becomes a part of a beautification project. Other possible answers to the problems of too many cedars concern education of the public on the dangers posed by uncontrolled red cedar expansion, and the joint efforts that various government agencies are making to form support groups or task forces which will help landowners with everything from managing controlled burns to creating well-designed conservation plantings for the future. Much needs to happen quickly on many fronts, because what happens to the food pantry of the Great Plains will affect the entire nation and ultimately the whole world. Next week, we'll visit about an evergreen tree that has become one of my favorites. It's also one that is being considered to serve as a replacement for the red cedar in windbreaks and shelter belts across the country. Some information used in the writing of today's show was contributed by the Kansas State Extension, the Jenks Oklahoma FFA chapter, and the Kansas chapter of the Nature Conservancy.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.